When I landed in the US, I had one advantage over many other immigrants from different parts of the world. I spoke English. Other Indians are less lucky, as the Bollywood film English Vinglish showed.
Next! How you doing today, ma'am? I asked how you were doing today.
You can call it a legacy of British colonial rule in India. You can say English still lords it over other languages in India. But it wins Man Booker prizes. It has clout. This is Sandeep Roy in Kolkata. I've always known there are two kinds of English writers from India. There's the Arundhati Roys, Anita Desais, Salman Rushdies. Here he's reading from one of his books.
Christians, Portuguese and Jews. Chinese tiles promoting godless views. Pushy ladies, skirts not saris, Spanish shenanigans, Moorish crowns. Can this really be India?
And there are writers like Chetan Bhagat, Ravinder Singh, Rashmi Bansal. These are not regarded as literary, but they produce enormous bestsellers, selling more than any Rushdie, despite or perhaps because of lines like these.
I took a strawberry and rolled it all over her. She could no longer hold herself.
Deep Kalra is your average Delhi dude. Deep grew up in a typical private sector home, very comfortable.
He plundered her neck, planting as many kisses as raindrops on the window.
As a writer, I too am often snooty about lazy language. I thought there was good English and the other English. Then I read this.
The common day experiences indeed do introduce one with unfailing regularity, the variegated cancerous concoctions of corruption with fearless impunity gnawing into the frame and fabric of the nation's essentia.
Say what? Exactly. That's just a snippet from a court judgment that is much in the news these days because it sent a politician to jail for corruption. There's good English, bad English, and in a case by itself, judicial English, perfect for pontification.
The national anthem is pivotal and centripetal to the basic conception of sovereignty and integrity of India. It is the marrow of nationalism, hypostasis of patriotism, nucleus of national heritage, substratum of culture and epitome of national honor.
Glazed over yet? If the likes of Chetan Bhagat are accused of never getting out of the shallow end of the pool, some Indian judges seem to delight in tossing us into the deep end where we can be hopelessly entangled in alliterative algae while polysyllabic piranhas attack from all sides. Not that long ago, there was a proposal that all journalists who report on court proceedings should have a degree in law recognized by the Bar Council of India. But given some of the extra long-winded judgments, a thesaurus would be more handy. It's as if verbosity has become regarded as a marker of erudition, as if the seriousness of the issue at hand can only be measured in paragraphs. More than anything else, it's English wielded almost as a weapon of shock and awe, meant to stun the reader into glazed submission. It's language erected as a grand edifice, the more forbidding, the better. Is it a surprise that for millions of Indians, Bhagat's homespun English comes as a breath of fresh air? It might be dismissed as pablum, but at least it's easily digestible. It caters to the public, it does not talk down to it. Publishers predict that the new India and the newly educated in India will read a lot less Rushdie and a lot more Chetan Bhagat and his books like Half Girlfriend.
So Half Girlfriend is basically an out and out love story. It's a story of a boy who doesn't speak English very well. So the girl doesn't want to date him.
Whether that augurs well for Indian literature or not, I hope the influence of these Chetan Bhagats of the future will percolate to the judiciary as well, reminding the honourable judges that simple and crisp does not have to mean shallow, that wise does not have to be bombastic. Perhaps a creative writing class by Mr. Bhagat for the esteemed judiciary might not be a bad idea at all. This is Sandeep Roy in Kolkata for KALW.